This is 90.3.
This is Real FM.
On the line now, we have Councillor Alison Gilliland, who is Labour Councillor for Beaumont Donaghmede. Good morning, Alison.
Good morning. How are you, John?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you again. Now, we're going to talk about a couple of things. After the tragedy up in Darndale there.
Darndale Park.
What can be done about legislation with regards to these quad bikes and scramblers that are causing a lot of mayhem at the moment?
Yeah, it was a very sad incident up in Darndale Park whereby a young man was just out enjoying the sunshine, and over the, I suppose, the bit of a hill behind him came a scrambler bike and it landed on top of him, and he's still very critical in Beaumont Hospital. So we're all very much thinking of him and hoping that he'll have a speedy recovery. Yeah, it's not a good situation. We have seen, I think, all across the city and all our parks, including some of our footpaths and down your local street and avenue, these scrambler bikes or quad bikes coming with sometimes very young kids on them, or sometimes an adult with a child on behind. Very few of them would tend to wear helmets, and they have an absolute blatant disregard for local residents and indeed for our public parks. Unfortunately, the guards can't chase them, because if a guard starts chasing them and they fall off and have an accident, then we have to have a public inquiry. So I think the only solution is proper legislative regulation, whereby they would have to be taxed with a proper registration plate for identification purposes and insurance, so that we can actually identify the owners, and that whoever buys them then would have to be over 18 years of age, a proper adult, would be responsible for them. And I think the other thing we need to consider is whether we should or shouldn't criminalise the use of scramblers on public green areas, public roads, and allow them only for scrambler parks, tracks or dirt roads, where I suppose they were originally built for.
Yes, and there are bylaws for parks and public places, and but as you said, they just disregard rules and regulations. And
complete disregard. Yeah.
And we've often seen them here outside the Civic Centre flying up and down the road, and there was a disaster there, I think, last year.
Yeah, the corner of Comcastle Road, yeah, we did. And we've had a lot of injuries, like not only the scrambler bike riders themselves falling off and injuring them, but we've had older women up in Ballymun getting almost knocked down, falling. There was one lady ended up with pins in her legs. It's also very intimidating, particularly for somebody who might be out with young kids, and the young kids sort of walking out around the green area or the park, and along comes a scrambler bike, and your only concern is to keep your kids safe, or particularly for older people that might feel a little unstable on their feet, and you have these scrambler bikes often in twos and threes or fours coming up around you. So it is something that I think the time has come and is probably well overdue for proper legislation to deal with them.
So just, I know there's calls being made for legislation to be brought in, but is there anything actually happening, do you know, Alison?
Yeah, there is a bill being prepared by Sinn Féin, I think, that would give the guard the powers to take a bike off someone. However, it doesn't go far enough, because mostly the guards can't actually get their hands on the bike. I know we had a big discussion about it up in Eden Moor, where that park, the whole parkland has been torn up by the scrambler bikes. And it was only through the locals reporting to the Gardaí where a particular owner lived that the Gardaí could turn up and actually talk to the owner. And I suppose then you have to get evidence. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to argue, no, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
So I think it's the regulation of them, you know, the registration, a bit like your own car, that they would wear a number plate, and that if you did, whether you be a local resident or the Gardaí, you could take the registration plate and then match it against whoever owns it. And that way you can actually go and, I suppose, confiscate them.
Yeah, you mentioned there the damage that they're doing to parks and public places. And I know that park in Darndale, I've interviewed Madeline Ebbs from DCC, and she was working closely with the community up there and got a scheme in place to maintain the park. And the community themselves are great. But then you get these guys coming along and it's heartbreaking for the people.
Yeah, and absolutely. And a huge amount of work has gone into Darndale Park to make it a really nice community space, whether it be if you want to go have a walk or take part in the run on a Saturday morning. And then you have, as you say, quite rightly, these bikes coming along. They're particularly in wet weather when the ground is a little bit damp, and they're tearing it up and leaving big holes and doing their donuts and their skids and all of this. Like, yes, they get enjoyment of it, but I do think, I suppose the other question is, should we be looking at specific scrambler parks for young people who enjoy this sort of thing so that they can, I suppose, participate in the sport, if you want to call it that, in a safe place that doesn't do damage either to other areas and green spaces or doesn't intimidate local residents.
Yes, and doing that would need funding, and I think we all know it is very hard to get funding. But anyway, there is things happening, so something hopefully will be done about the scramblers and the quad bikes. We're going to move on now, Alison, if you don't mind. There's talk of an increase in property tax. A lot of people have been saying to me that they're very worried about an increase in property tax, because it is Dublin, more or less, that's going to see the biggest increase if this comes through.
Yeah.
What's happening, Alison?
Yeah, there is a review of the property tax levels to be carried out. I think it's next year. It's been put off for a couple of years since its first introduction in 2013. And I suppose when we introduced it, housing prices were lower than they are now. And I suppose the concern comes from people knowing that house prices have increased in the last 3, 4, 5 years. And once your house price increases, your property tax is going to increase because it's banded against the value of your house.
Yeah.
Now, there is an argument that that's not a good band or a good match to have, that perhaps it should be banded against the value of the site that your house is on rather than your house itself, because house prices are more volatile to ups and downs. There's a lot of problems with the tax. I would view the ability of the local authorities, as in the councillors, to increase it by 15% or decrease it as far as 15% as a little bit of a nonsense, because I think a lot of politicians will play to the crowd and reduce it to its max. As a Labour Party person, our group would always have argued that we don't reduce it to the max, because there are so many needs within Dublin city area that we could be using that money for. Like a 15% reduction, which is what has happened over the last 3 years, is a loss of $12.5 million to Dublin City Council. And I think all you have to do, John, is look out your window there and see how we actually need more people taking care of our green spaces. There's footpaths there that could be repaired. There's community spaces that would enjoy a refurbishment. So I think that element of it should be reduced or removed. Now, I know some politicians will say, local politicians will say, well, it gives the local councillors some sort of say in what we take in. But actually, the say that we prefer is what we actually do with the tax.
Yeah, now, the property tax based on house value, that seems quite unfair. Because take, for instance, now an elderly person who bought their house decades ago, you know, for maybe 60,000-70,000, and it's now valued at 250,000-300,000. And they don't seem to take into account the means, you know, how much money is in the house.
No, it's not. It purely is on the value of your house. And I think you're very right in that, because I remember when it was first introduced, that was a big concern from, as you say, particularly older people who now might be living on the state pension, and just because they're living in perhaps a nicer area. Now, I'm talking Artane up there by Ardmore, Montrose, the Ardlee Road, that their house values are a little bit more expensive than somewhere perhaps like Kilmore. And it is a significant chunk of money. I do know there's waivers there, and there's also, like, you can delay it and have it build up and pass it on when you pass away. But no person likes to do that. So I think a new way of, I suppose, calculating how much you should pay needs to be got. And I think a site value is more appropriate than the value of the actual house. So it's just the land, the value of the land, and that would very much reduce it.
Yeah. And do you think that maybe rural areas and city areas should be, there should be different rules? Because you could have a three-bed semi in Dublin City, for instance, and a five-bed in a rural area. And
perhaps another way of looking at it is paying by the square metre of your house. Because you would tend to have bigger houses in rural areas because they have more land space, and, as you say, proportionate to the cost of a house here, you get a much bigger house in the rural communities. And I know when I lived in Spain, that's how our management fees and the apartments were calculated. It was according to your square footage as it was then. So you paid per square meter or square foot. So I think there's various different ways of looking at it. But what we're not sure of at the moment is whether the Minister for the Environment, who oversees it, is actually going to sit down and consider changing the actual calculation. Or is he just going to decide on maybe reducing the tax per band and leave the value? So we're a little bit in limbo when it comes to that. There's no clear indication from him as yet as to how he's going to manage that review.
Yeah, and it's I think it's vital that people should be put at their ease, because particularly elderly people who are, already
absolutely
pushed.
And the other suggestion I would have, John, is, and I suppose it comes from receiving complaints from a lot of local residents, that they don't know how the property tax itself is spent, or they don't see any sort of visible improvement in their local areas, is that every local authority should send out a statement each year to each householder to say, okay, you paid $450 in your property tax. In your area, this is how we spent all the property tax that was brought in. So you could actually detail the roads that were resurfaced, the footpaths that were fixed, the new green areas, perhaps the new gym equipment that was put into your local park, so that residents would be able to make the connection between the tax they pay and improvements and services in their local area.
Yeah, that would be great if it happened, because Alison, that the roads are in bits, just potholes. I mean, I travel from Artane up to Omni a lot, and the roads are a disgrace.
Yeah, and it's actually a complaint that we made. We have a services committee that we met, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I suppose the council will say to us, like, you know, we target the worst roads, and we do have a program going forward, but the bottom line is staffing, and roads have been particularly badly hit over the last couple of years, and they just don't have the direct employees to get around as many roads as needed every year. Now, they do subcontract out, but there's a lot of pressure coming on the council now, and I suppose the Labour group initiated this, that we need to look at building up our council staff back to levels before the recession kicked in, and that would, I suppose, be strategized, and there would be a plan put in place so that we could get to a level whereby we can actually service our local areas properly, because it's not happening at the moment.
No, it's not. Now, talking about property tax, who was it? Dublin Fingal TD, Dara O'Brien, he called on, he said that The detrimental impact that pyrite has had on thousands of homes across, he was talking about Fingal, but we know it's in our area as well, up there in Clongriffin. And he was saying that the homes included in the pyrite scheme should be exempt from paying a property tax. Would you agree with that, Alison, or...
I'm not sure about that suggestion, because I think, okay, if your home has got pyrite, your biggest concern is trying to get it resolved.
Yeah.
And that costs a huge amount of money. I know we have the Pyrite Resolution Board, but not all houses fall into the criteria to get some funding from that. And I think if anything was to change, it would be the criteria for that resolution board, whereby you could act, any householder, regardless of the insurance they have, should be able to get support with remediating their pyrite. Because I do think while property tax can be a huge chunk out of your monthly spend, it's going to be a bigger chunk of money to resolve your pyrite problem. I know I've been in contact with a good few people down in Balmain with regard to theirs, and one of the key stumbling blocks in getting support is the actual cost of the assessment.
Yes.
Particularly if you do have insurance, there seems to be a great disparity between the amount of money or the type of assessment and the cost of the assessment that is required by some insurance companies and not others. So getting some sort of support to actually resolve your pyrite situation, I think, would be better than exempting people from paying local property tax on their home if they have pyrite.
Yeah, I'd agree with you 100% there on that, because we both know of a case where I think the pyrite thing, there's three levels of pyrite, and if you have the lowest level of pyrite, you get no financial help whatsoever, and that's all well and good. But if somebody is trying to sell that house, banks are demanding now letters to say that there is no pyrite in your house.
Yeah.
And if you're on the lowest level of pyrite, you can't say there's no pyrite in the house, and the banks will refuse to give the buyer the loan.
Yeah, and that's particularly important for people who live in apartment blocks, because the biggest concentration of pyrite is going to be in the ground floor apartments, on the foundations. But it does permeate the whole way up to the first floor, second floor and third floor. So if you're in the first or second floor and your ground floor underneath you hasn't been, remediated, there's not much point in you on the first or second floor getting sorted unless the ground floor is. And I think that's where we need probably a proper scheme for apartment blocks, where the management company of apartment blocks and apartment estates can actually apply to get the entire estate remediated, rather than individual owners who are paying huge management fees trying to go it alone. So again, there's a lot that could be done just by sitting down with that scheme and talking to people about their actual needs in different situations.
Now, you mentioned management companies there. A lot of people, now luckily enough we don't have a management company, because they weren't around when we were buying our house. What's your opinion of these management companies?
Yeah, I live in an apartment complex up there at the top of the Oscar Traynor Road, and we have one. And now, from what I see, it's carrying on its business and managing the estate quite well. They would look after, the green spaces, the common spaces. They would be in charge of cleaning the internal stairwells, painting the internal shared areas, because you do, in my block, there's two of us on each floor, contracting a cleaner to keep those stairwells clean. But others have difficult problems with them, maybe that they aren't as good as they seem. You end up paying a huge amount of money, and there's a baseline income that the management company has to have, and that's to pay the insurance on the block should anything go wrong. That's your biggest fear, that if there was a fire or if there was flooding, that there would be some sort of payback from the management company there. But a lot of complexes also have sort of like a board of directors, and they're the, I suppose, local residents that volunteer to sit down together and hire the management company. And they have a huge responsibility, as you know, a director of any company or has. And I think that's where a lot of local residents have difficulties, is making a good choice of a management company and then holding that management company to account with what they're meant to do with the management fees they receive. And I know in certain cases that when you don't see any improvements and you don't see that your complex is being kept and it's not being painted, there is a reluctance on the residents or the owners to actually pay the fees. And this happened in ours, whereby we could barely pay the insurance because a huge amount of residents hadn't paid the fees. And of course, you know, out of the fees comes the management company salary or fee themselves. So the directors had to sit down and basically ask the management company to put in place a really stringent debt collection system. Now, thankfully, it's working, and you know, we're increasing year on year. But it's a very serious issue for people living in those complexes, particularly owner-occupiers. And there are times where you actually feel at sea and completely frustrated with the lack of progress, or that nothing's happened and everything costs so much.
Yes, it is. It's as I said, some people cannot stand the management companies. And as usual, Alison, the clock has beaten us. We've gone over. So just to recap, there is a policy being put forward to legislate against about these quad bites and scramblers.
Yeah, there's a piece of legislation being brought forward whereby the Garda can take them off the owners. But I do think it doesn't go far enough, so it's definitely something that we need to look at in changing and making it a lot more robust, so that we can properly regulate them, have them registered, yeah, taxed and insured. So we, I suppose, when there are incidents such as the one in Darndale Park, that we can actually identify the owners and take action against them.
Right, and I think, do we both agree that the way the property tax is based on house value should be changed, and income taken into account?
I would agree with that, John.
Yeah. Okay, Alison, listen, thank you very much for taking my call this morning.
Okay, great talking to you.
And you too.
Chat again.
Thank you.
Weekday mornings from 11. This is Northside Today.